Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What up, what up, what up, pro silly listeners? Welcome to the podcast that makes it silliness seriously. It's the Professionally Silly Podcast, and guess who it is? It's your audible boo thang, Amber Smiles Jones, and this is the podcast where we shoot the shit and where comedy can meet any random ass topic that we discuss. So shout out to all of my listeners, new and loyal. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing my father, Milton D. Jones, attorney at law. He and I have written a book. You like my narration voice? My father and I have written a book together, and we're going to go ahead and talk about it. Father, I want you to go ahead and tell our listeners about our nonprofit, as well as the titles of the two books we've written previously to this new one. So we got three books together. Go ahead and share your knowledge.
So you're using your NPR voice?
This is NPR.
Well, all right. I'll try to match that, even though I'm always a lot louder.
There's no way to match my NPR voice. Good luck to you, sir.
Well, okay.
No, I'm just joking. Go ahead.
All right. Our nonprofit is called From Broke to Breakthrough. We've been around since about 2016. And if I could maybe cook soup down the gravy as to what we do, is that we show parents how to raise their children's reading level by one full grade. You know, it's a thing nowadays that people are saying stuff, and I don't know how true it is, but I can see the effects that, you know, our children are falling behind in reading levels, in math levels, and it appears to be, they say it was caused maybe by COVID, but I think it was happening way before then. Mm-hmm. So is that we're trying to find a way to not to replace, but to assist parents in order to raise their children's grade level. You see, the problem is that everybody wants to raise the children's reading level, but very few people know how to do it. And, you know, a lot of parents depend upon the schools to do it. And unfortunately, the schools, God love them, teachers are getting overworked, you know. They really are. They're trying to do some things. But, you know, nowadays, when you're one teacher and you're sitting there with 30 kids at all different levels.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked to one lady, she was teaching third grade. Mm-hmm. And she said her reading level out of just these 15 kids she had, and she had a small class, comparatively speaking. Mm-hmm. She said, I had some that were like kindergarten level, that were somewhere at first grade level, some were second grade level. She says very few were third grade level. But still, you know, that just shows you what they're up against, because you try to give your attention to those children, but you have to kind of make a different adjustment for each child so you can see where they really have a problem. And the administrators, the school boards are now kicking it with all the people wearing those red caps, and they're, you know, they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff too. But however, I think that this is a hopeful time for us. It is really, really hopeful time for us, because this is the first time in our history since we've been here that we can easily increase the reading level of our children. And at the same time, those who wish us harm, those folks wearing the red caps, the MAGA people, is that at the same time, those people are actively making their own children dumber.
I remember when there was all these, when it's like political times, obviously, the commercials are going to be starting soon, it's going to be time to vote soon, you know, things are going to get crazy. But I remember at one point, actually, I think it was like a conversation you and Mom were having about how there are certain people who are willing to put their own people through hell just to make sure that people like you and me cannot thrive. And I think that's ridiculous.
Right, but they can't really keep us down. The only way they can keep us down is for us to allow them, allow them to keep us down. Because there are so many things that are available to people that weren't available before. Like, I'm an old head, okay? Back in the day, the Cadillac for information was a thing called an encyclopedia.
For those of you listening, an encyclopedia is a book with actual paper pages that you turn. It's not something you can swipe on. Continue.
And it was the kind of thing that people had in their homes if they really were kind of well-to-do. They had like a level called the Encyclopedia Britannica,
which
was like the Cadillac of all those. Then you had the World Book, and then you had people like me. My mama, when she bought her encyclopedias, she bought it from the grocery store. And they would give you a different volume every week or so, you know, when you bought your groceries. And so we buy the groceries, but then there may be in a couple of weeks and my mama didn't buy groceries. So we may have A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, G.
Right.
So we have to go over to the people's house next door and say, you got volume E? I'm doing some homework here.
Trying to learn about elephants.
So, but I mean, but all that stuff is just not a question anymore.
Yeah.
Everybody has information to all the world's knowledge at their cell phone.
And the thing is that everyone needs to understand is that all of this starts at home. You cannot expect all of these teachers to teach your child everything. The education starts at home.
Well, you know, Brother Malcolm X once said, only a fool would allow the enemy to educate his children. Now, certainly the enemy is not our teachers, because our teachers are doing a heck of a job. But there is an enemy, and once again, it's those people wearing them red hats, that are trying their best to, you know, take money away from our schools, to, you know, cripple them, trying to make them not being able to produce. So we have to go back and say, listen, we're going to step up and start taking care of our own children and giving them that foundational information from home. So, yes, I agree with you 100% that a lot of this stuff starts at home. But let's make it easy. Our program is called Parent-Child Read Aloud is Powerful. And what we do with that, we want to do something that everybody can do. That is, we want you to read aloud to your child 15 minutes a day. Because we found if you read aloud to your child 15 minutes a day, within a very short time, like a month or so, your child's reading level raises up by one full grade level.
And I can attest right now, okay, when I was in third grade, I was already at a high school reading level. I read Moby Dick in fourth grade.
Right.
So I was his guinea pig, except it worked
That's
out.
Right. But it worked out. And we started doing that with like ninth grade kids. We get them from the public school. We keep them from ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th, all the way through getting ready to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have to read one classic book every month, my choice. They would have to do a full book composition every month, my choice, and they would have to do 10
vocabulary words
every week, SAT type words. And so by the time that they got out of high school, they had read 48 books, 48 book compositions, 2,000 SAT words, and they came out smoking.
Yo, I learned the word facetious from you. That was my favorite one. Well,
But and the thing that was so wonderful about that, when we did this for the kids, the kids came in and they were smoking out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
But we found out. We looked at the younger kids and had a startling statistic.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Georgia, 2 out of 3 of our third graders are not reading at grade level.
Yeah.
And that is kind of for everybody. If you got to all the people that look like us, and segregated that out, you'd find...
We're black.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know what they mean. It is radio,
right?
For my
new listeners, we're black. Just want to point that out. Okay, go ahead.
But it gets down into the numbers of, you know, in the teens.
Yeah.
You know, when you get to eighth grade, the statistic that hurts me is that 85% of those black boys that look like me, 85% are not reading at grade level. That's amazing. So what are they ready for? Ready for that school to prison pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
So we found that if you can get a child around third grade and teach them how to read, they're going to be okay. But if you get them past like third grade, chances are they'll never catch up.
So one of the things that we decided to do was to help with books, with children's books that are technically kind of written for the adults who are reading them as well. And there are 3 books that we have written together. Now, he's going to tell you the titles of them and where you can find them. And we'll make sure the link is down in my link tree already, actually, to our nonprofit, From Broke to Breakthrough. But our first book is one of my favorites. This is actually a child's first book about money. Dad, briefly tell me tell the listeners about that book.
Sure. The title of that book is When the Rhythm of the Drumbeat Changes, a child's first book about money. Why? Because I'm a bankruptcy attorney, and I've been dealing with money dealing with debt.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I found that you can get people who are grown, and you can tell them what to do, but it is awfully difficult to get somebody straight after they've been doing it wrong for the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Frederick Douglass told us, he gave us the idea a long time ago. He made it very clear. He said, it is far easier to build strong children than it is to repair broken men.
Mm.
So we went back and we said, let's try to get these children straight on what money is and how we can handle money, because the studies show that a child's adult spending habits are formed by the time they're 7 years old.
Yeah.
So our book is coming from the wisdom of the Kosi people in Africa, who tell us when the rhythm of the drum beat changes, the dance steps must adapt.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the problem is not learning. The problem is really not learning. The future really belongs to the people that can unlearn and relearn something different.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to show our kids how to adapt. And I think that that's one of the things for the 21st century that is so much needed. It's a skill. And we want to have every book that we write, and I think that you'll find when we write our books, they have a certain Aesopian type of idea behind each one. You know how Aesop used to come in and say, I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm going to entertain you, but there's a moral to the story?
Yeah.
We do that. And so by the time that the child is set on daddy's knee and they talk to him about our books, by the time they finish, they say, oh, that's what money is, and that's what money is about. And yes, I should become adaptable, because if things change, I can make the change.
And change is something that's always going to happen. That's part of life. You can't really escape that. Things are going to change. You gotta mix shit up.
And that's really the problem for us old heads, mm-hmm. is that we want to teach our children the way, or for a world that no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to teach you how to deal with 1960s, 1970s, 1980s. That world is long gone.
That's why the government is failing us all. Go ahead.
That's right. So that was for the first book, When the Rhythm of the Drum Beat Changes, a child's first book about money.
So what I want you to do, Daddy, is tell our listeners about our second book, mentioning a animal that is on many farms. Go ahead.
Okay. Second book is called Parent-Child Read Aloud is Powerful, Cows and Buffalo. This gets to be so interesting. I love this story. I heard it first when I was in New Mexico with my brother out in Albuquerque, and he was telling us about the differences between cows and buffalo. So the story is set up in Colorado, and our two little girls, Jay and Carrie, tell the story about the cows and the buffalo, because in Colorado, you have those tall, beautiful Rocky Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows about them. But to the east, you have the wide, flat Kansas Plain. And it is so wide and so flat, you can see all the way to the horizon. And just because you can see all the way to the horizon, you can also see a weather front when it comes rolling in. Whenever you saw one of those, it's amazing because, you know, I came from the east. I grew up in Pennsylvania, and I live in Georgia. We couldn't see it roll in. It actually, you can see it roll in, and it looks like a giant floor scrubber. Anyway, when it comes, we can see it, but also the animals can see it. And this is one of the few places where you have cows and buffalo in the same area. And how they react to it makes all the difference. When the weather front rolls in, the storm rolls in, cows herd up and they run away from the storm. Here's the problem, is that cows don't run very fast. And soon the storm overtakes them. So now the cow is running through with the storm, and it stays in the storm a whole lot longer. This is one of the interesting things, is that you've always seen those disaster movies, tornadoes and such, mm-hmm. and they always talk about flying cows. Here's the interesting thing, is that people talk about, you know, they have the disaster movies with tornadoes and such, and they always talk about the flying cows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's how it happens, is that the storm is coming. The cow is running from it with full gallop. A big gust of wind gets under that cow, just like a 747, whoosh, got flying cow. On the other hand, there's buffalo. Now, the buffalo, what they do when they see the storm coming, they get into a herd, and they charge full gallop into the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And because they've charged into the storm, they're running against the storm. They stay in it a lot less. And it's not nearly as severe as what happens with that cow. Here's the moral to the story out of this, is that you can see the same storm. In fact, we're all going to go through the same storm. It's life. You can see the same storm. When you see the storm coming, what do you want to do? And the answer is, be the buffalo.
Mm.
And so that's the moral to that story. And I just like that story so much because it teaches children grit and a toughness. And it's saying, it's coming, I'm going right through it.
I'm for that, because I'm going to be rude with you. A lot of these newer generations, you know, they soft. They expect a lot of things
soft
to be handed to them.
Soft as funeral music.
Okay.
That's, you can't get more soft than that.
You know, eulogy.
Yeah, you know.
It's crazy. So I think it's very important. I think it's very important for our parents and our guardians and those who are, helping pretty much raise the future. I'm not just talking about our books, but this way of thinking, especially open-minded thinking, is extremely important. And just the ideal, which is my favorite ideal, is just try. And what we're trying to do is show you that you joining in on your child's education is extremely important. Reading to your child 15 minutes a day does not mean, Amber said buy her book or my child's going to be stupid. No, you don't have to read our books. But if you're reading magazines, if you're reading websites, if you're reading a menu, whatever, you're exposing your child to something that they're not being exposed to in school. And that in turn is going to pretty much increase their vocabulary intake and get them ready for things that are going on in the outside of the in the world, in the wild, if you would like that. So I think that's extremely important to pretty much let your child experience a world, a different world. It's a different world, yeah. Ooh. That way I come from. Okay, a different world via vocabulary and via reading. It does open up the world. So here's my thing. So we also have a third book that just came out. Like, what was it, September, October?
It's been out for about 4 weeks. That's it.
Yeah, a little over a month. Mm-hmm. And this is our third book. And this one is for our fathers. And I'm going to let my father tell you about that one. Go ahead, Daddy.
Okay. Now, before I do that, I'm going to give a little trivia question.
Oh, all right.
Since y'all refer to a different world, everybody knows who sang that song. Who sang the song?
See, Aretha Franklin, I thought.
Aretha Franklin. Aretha Franklin sang the song, but she didn't sing it first. Oh. The first year.
Trivia question.
No, I wasn't ready for that.
The first year was another singer who sang the theme song to A Different World.
What?
So I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to have them call in.
They
can call in.
This isn't the Bert Show.
Tell them to
call my
you
Google
up.
Voice number 805-664-1828.
Okay, then I'll tell them. Okay, I'll tell them.
It's recorded.
It was a lady named Phoebe Snow.
Oh, I remember you telling me about that a while back.
Phoebe Snow sang that the first year. She became famous because she sang a song called, I think, Poetry Man and a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, Aretha came in and bogarted and stole another song.
Oh, yeah, Aretha, she is.
Aretha stole many songs. She stole, R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
But she stole it
well. She stole that song?
See, I'm saying, when she stole it, she does, when she thieves, she keep it.
Is that about who get it first? Is about who get last?
Otis Redding first sang that song.
I didn't even know that.
I had no idea.
When she was singing, I Say a Little Prayer for You.
Yeah.
She knew the original of that.
Who did?
Dionne Warwick.
Oh, that's right. I actually know that version.
But by the time Riri get through with something, she stole it and she gonna keep it.
Oh, facts.
Oh, yeah.
See, I'm gonna be real with you because that's very similar to what like Whitney Houston did with a lot of Dolly Parton songs. Because she wrote like two of her biggest hits. I Will Always Love You, and was it Every Woman, I think? No, Every Woman was Chaka Khan.
Folks is just stealing songs. I mean, if this was any other
That's
world,
music. That's the music industry. Real talk.
It would shine over last.
Look at all the songs that Nicki Minaj is doing. Well, she's borrowing songs from like the early 90s and late 80s right now.
Yeah, well, you know what? Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's all the same. Like everybody's,
But it wasn't as blatant. Like the majority of the time, a person pretty much knows in the modern day if they're taking from somebody. Oh,
they pay for the rights to do
it.
It's
a sampling.
So. Yeah. Back then, that song, no one knew that song.
Yeah, well, no, Google then. You just thought, oh, that's Aretha's song.
They thought
song.
That was your song.
Well, the problem is that once Riri got a hold of it.
Oh, that she was the original Riri.
Nobody,
sorry, Rihanna.
We love Rihanna, too. Barbados, Bridgetown, come on with it. Anyway.
It's Rihanna's. So I changed it.
I know. And it's B instead of Beyonce instead of Bay. And, okay. We'll play with that. But either so I throw that little piece of trivia out for your audience. There's going to be two or three people that know that answer. Yeah. And they're going to say, uh-huh, where's my prize? Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. It's coming.
I know my parents love me. All right, so tell us about the third book.
Oh, yeah, we were going to talk about that one. Yeah.
Introducing the third book.
The third book is called The Most Important Thing My Daddy Does. Mm-hmm. This one's kind of personal for me and you.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of autobiographical. And it's our little girl who she comes out and she says, this is the most important thing my daddy does. And she starts giving a whole rundown of things that her daddy does. And once again, as you mentioned earlier, is that you and I really don't write children's books. We write books for parents who have young children. And this one in particular is written for young fathers who have young children.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to answer that question, what is the most important thing, the best thing a father can do for his child? And the little girl comes out and says, my daddy gives me hugs and kisses every day, but that's not the most important thing he does. He takes me and my bestie, Kara. Oh, and by the way, the two little girls we have in the story, Jay and Kara, they're actually real people.
Yeah.
They were a couple of our interns that we had a few years back.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, she says, it gives me kisses every day, but that's not the most important thing he does. And then she goes on and says, he takes me and my bestie, Kara, out to the market. We dance to the drummers. That's not the most important thing he does. He reads to me every night, but that's not the most important thing he does. He goes to work every day. So we have a home, but that's not the most important thing he does. He takes me shopping and we buy school clothes, but that's not the most important thing he does. Takes me out to dinner every Thursday night, which we always did, daddy-daughter night.
Yeah.
Daddy-daughter night, but that's not the most important thing he does. Sometimes at night, he takes me outside and he shows me the moon and the stars, but that's not the most important thing he does.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing he does is he loves my mama.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she says, this is my mama and this is my daddy. And we wanted to write this so that we could get across that idea, young fathers, the best thing you can do for your child, maybe not the best thing you can do for you or not the best thing that you want to do, mm-hmm. the best thing you can do for your child. Have you ever seen a child coming down the street and she's got her daddy on one side and her mama on the other side and they're holding hands and she's just swinging back and forth? That's a happy child.
That's a very ABC family moment. I love that.
Okay, that's very TGIF.
Well, that's the thing about it is that we wanted to make sure that we kind of got this idea to this young man to say, if you really want to try to raise this well-adjusted, loving, wonderful child, this, you have to understand, be nice to the mama.
Yeah.
Be nice to the mama, because when you do that, young men, you are teaching young men how to treat women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how to treat their baby mamas or their wives or whatever you want to call them. I don't get into all that. I'm just saying, if you have a baby with this, if you have a baby with that woman, be nice to her.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it also tells young girls about what is really the threshold
mm-hmm.
of how men are supposed to treat them.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And also, it is an idea that men, when we walk through this, we're showing that men are active participants.
Yes.
In the raising of the child.
Yep.
That's helpful, because if you're not that way, then, of course, you get into this thing I saw on YouTube the other day where the woman was complaining that she was a single married mother or a married single mother. I don't know what it was, but she was just saying is that essentially, you know, I'm married to this guy, but he don't do crap.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm married single.
Wow. Right.
Wow.
And, you know, I guess it's different strokes for different folks, But we want to get the idea across, even if you and your wife have decided that this is what you do, that may not be the best thing that you could do for your child.
So there you, let me get my NPR voice on. me. There you have it. Milton D. Jones, author, bankruptcy relief attorney, extraordinaire, and amazing father and husband. He has shared with us three books from the Broke to Breakthrough nonprofit program.
Parent Child Read Aloud is powerful.
It is powerful. Father, I would like to thank you for joining me for this episode. It has been lovely.
My pleasure.
In parting words, is there anything else that you would like to say to any listeners in dealing with writing books or chasing a dream or maybe even saving some money? Do you have any parting knowledge that you would like to share with our listeners?
If I could just give one thing, I will restate what Frederick Douglass told us. Building strong children is much easier than repairing broken men.
And there you have it. This is NPR. No, it's not. Yeah, it was a professionally silly podcast.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
You can't make the most of your data if it's stuck in different silos. If it's scattered across the cloud, on-prem, and with your apps, then it's hard to access, hard to work with, and increasingly expensive. Now you can see it all and manage it all from one place. Welcome to Data Done Right. You can start managing your data, not your infrastructure. It's unified, simple, secure, and it's only with a Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com.
Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.